the pressure increases on Bank of America.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Securities and Exchange Commission says this morning it has reached an agreement with Bank of America to turn over more information about the bank's merger with Merrill Lynch. We get that story from Marketplace's Steve Henn.
The SEC is suing Bank of America for allegedly hiding merger information from shareholders, including the $5 billion in bonuses paid to Merrill Lynch executives. A few months ago, a federal judge blocked a settlement in this case because it didn't name who was responsible. Today's agreement doesn't end the case, but Bank of America is waiving attorney-client privileges that let it conceal some merger discussions from the SEC and others, like New York State Attorney General Andrew Cuomo. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn. For Marketplace.
And we'll find out how profitable B of A is lately when it reports quarterly earnings on Friday. Meanwhile, healthcare giant Johnson & Johnson said this hour its quarterly profits rose 1% over last year. That beat Wall Street's expectations. Sales for J&J, though, were down 5% thanks to competition from generics. European stocks are mixed this morning. Asian markets were mostly higher earlier. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P 500 gained 0.4%, while the NASDAQ was flat. And let's talk about the Dow. It closed yesterday at 9,885. It was a gain of 21 points. But earlier in the session, it was flirting with the 10,000 mark, as it has been for a few weeks. So is 10,000 really a significant marker for the Dow, or is it just a number? Marketplace's senior business correspondent Bob Moon is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, how important is a milestone like 10,000? We like to talk about it. It's got lots of zeros, but does it matter?
Yeah, it's a big round number, but most analysts are going to tell you that it's purely psychological. On the other hand, you do have to look at the rally that we've seen in the last 6 months, and that is very real. I mean, you look at the NASDAQ. It's up more than 35% since the start of the year. The S&P 500 up around 18%. So there is something going on out there. Analysts are wondering, though, what's the staying power?
Do stock traders actually buy or sell based on a number like that?
Well, I don't think the big institutions do, but you do have to keep in mind that it does work as something of a promotional tool. It causes people like you and me to talk about the stock market. That gets people's attention, and it makes them think, well, gee, maybe I need to get in on this. So you can look at maybe an initial pop after the 10,000 mark.
And some people wondered, oh, maybe that is awfully high. Maybe we're done for this rally.
Well, that's the other hand, if you will. It's a marker that can fan skepticism and make people think that we've come too far too fast.
Bob Moon is Marketplace's senior business correspondent. Always great to talk to you, Bob.
Thanks, Bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. SunGard Availability Services operates 5 million square feet of secure data center space dedicated to keeping people and information connected. More information at sunguard.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
China makes a lot of stuff, and these days it's cranking out a lot of rich people. We're talking 130 billionaires, a 30% jump over last year. Now, that puts China a distant second to the USA, but it is gaining. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Topping the China rich list is $5.1 billion man Wang Chuanfu. He's founder of Chinese car and battery maker BYD. Wang and the others on the list of China's 1,000 wealthiest saw their net worth grow a total of 30% last year. The compiler of the list is British publisher Rupert Hoogeworth. He says rich folks in Asia are big-time gift givers. That makes for a serious market for luxury handbags, perfume, and alcohol.
If I go to a wedding in the UK, I'd spend £50 on a good friend maximum. But in China, if you only spent £50, that would be seen as heresy.
And he says the wealthy in China are often accompanied by brand-conscious mistresses. Not kidding.
For certain, especially the fashion, the watches and jewelry, you've got a great mistress market, and they demand brands that are recognized.
By most measures, China is already one of the world's top luxury markets, behind Japan, the EU, and the United States. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Jury selection begins today for the first criminal trial to come out of the financial crisis. Two former Bear Stearns hedge fund managers are charged with misleading investors about how their funds were doing. Marketplace's Amy Scott has that.
Think back to the summer of 2007, when the mortgage meltdown was just beginning. Losses on subprime mortgages wiped out two hedge funds at investment bank Bear Stearns. Ralph Chaffee and Matthew Tannen managed those funds. The government accuses them of telling clients their money was safe when they knew otherwise.
Essentially, what the government has charged here is that these defendants were telling their investors one thing, but privately believed something very different.
Robert Mintz is a former federal prosecutor, now with the law firm McCarter & English. He says the collapse of the hedge funds didn't bring down Bear Stearns, but he says the case has become symbolic.
There will be a temptation by some to hold these two responsible for what was really a much larger problem. And the defense is going to argue that they're really being made scapegoats.
If convicted, Chaffee and Tannen could spend up to 20 years in prison. Peter Henning teaches law at Wayne State University. He says the defense may have a hard time finding jurors impartial to a pair of rich guys from Wall Street. New York Magazine recently reported that Chaffee had to sell two of his three sports cars.
There is certainly in the United States a natural bias against the wealthy, and someone who has to sell two Ferraris certainly is going to come across as wealthy and less sympathetic.
On the other hand, he says the government has a tough case to make, that the defendants intentionally defrauded their investors. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And speaking of defendants, the New York Post reports convicted Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff got into a prison yard fight with a fellow inmate over the stock market. Madoff is serving 150 years at the Butner, North Carolina Federal Prison. Eyewitnesses say he and another senior citizen inmate were debating the state of the market and got into a shoving match. And apparently the 71-year-old Madoff came out the winner. A fellow inmate said, "I didn't think Bernie had it in him." This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.